Hello, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Chris Gabin.
Eric Siska.
And we hate movies. Welcome to We Hate Movies. Thank you for tuning in, as always. If you are new to us, if you have found us via the Sideshow Network, welcome. Thank you for hanging out. We're happy to be here. Today we're talking about a truly atrocious film from the 1980s. And first we'll say, finally, welcome to the program, Whoopi Goldberg.
Finally, man.
Was this her first?
This is Whoopi's first time on the show. Wow. With 1987's Fatal Beauty, directed by Tom Holland. What is this movie?
Oh, I can tell you exactly what this movie is.
Chris Cabin's going to tell us exactly.
Wait, I want to hear this.
Beverly Hills Lady Cop.
Yeah, you're totally right.
It's precisely what it is. It's just like, hey, you know what? Eddie Murphy, he made us a bunch of money 3 years ago.
Yep.
Whoopi Goldberg's going to make us a bunch of money now. No, she's not.
Like, make her a cop, make her have a potty mouth. You're totally right. Because she's just a wisecracking Axel Foley. As portrayed by Whoopi Goldberg is what's happening.
Although, like, I read a little bit of trivia that Cher was going to play this role originally.
And you know what? That makes complete sense because this is a great place to start. Whoopi Goldberg's name in this movie, and I get the irony because her name is Whoopi Goldberg, but she's playing a character in this movie named Rizzoli. And there's one
Rita Rizzoli. Yeah.
Rita Rizzoli.
There's one scene in this movie where they... Sam Elliott says to her, like, well, that sure is a nice Italian name. And they make no joke.
Oh, but he's also like, and you got them beautiful Italian brown eyes.
It's so insane. Like, the character in the movie was supposed to be actually Italian, and Cher's pulling off Italian.
Yeah. And just let's clear this up. Because her name is Rizzoli, you might be wondering if Sam Elliott's name is Isles. It is not. Just so we have that cleared up.
It's also kind of all right with me that the fact that they just like, you know, well, you know, this is a part written for whatever, and we're just going to put whoever in it. And I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's totally fine, but take out the scene where they have a conversation about her being Italian.
Yes, they really go over the top with it because they mention it a lot. Like in Shawshank Redemption with Morgan Freeman as Red, it's like played for a joke in one scene. Instead, these scenes are played like super serious, like you're Italian.
Well, that's what's funny is because I heard a story. I think it was actually on the commentary for the Beverly Hills Cop Blu-ray. Where Beverly Hills Cop was actually supposed to be a Sylvester Stallone vehicle.
Oh, really?
And they turned it into a comedy specifically to make the script work for Eddie Murphy.
Oh, I see.
Oh, it was going to be Cobra too.
It was like Cobra. It was supposed to be like Cobra.
That's yeah. No thanks. It went the right way.
Yeah, I'm very happy.
And this went the wrong way.
Absolutely.
This is the wrong way. So this is Whoopi Goldberg. She's Axel Foley. She is a hard-nosed detective, always quick with the one-liners. Kind of like the bane of the police force's existence, like everyone else on this police force, including, because it's a 1980s cop comedy, the run ragged chief, played by some man who's one heartbeat away from not being on this earth anymore.
He's at wit's end.
He is about to lose it. Like,
he's going to pop.
He's going to blow a gasket.
Well, no, that's the thing. I don't think he's like defeated. He's just like, oh, Rizzoli, you know what? I didn't want to get out of bed today anyway. You know what? I'm going home, and you can go and deal with all of this stuff you started.
Chris, you are right. I think his gasket probably blew like 6 months ago, and he's less like,
he's
just the steam.
He's brain and soul dead
after
this, and it's just like, whatever you're going to do, I know you're just going to do it, Rizzoli.
Yes.
Foley Rizzoli. So we start out, Whoopi Goldberg is, of course, dressed up like a prostitute undercover. She's running down the street just yelling one-liners at people. It's like, this is the introduction to your movie that is pushing the two-hour mark. And you're like, oh, okay. I remember the first time I saw this about a year or two ago. It's like, oh, that's what this movie is. Okay, I have 147 minutes left of this movie, and I know exactly what's going on.
Hooray. Like,
she just doesn't stop.
And by the way, she's an undercover agent, it turns out, in this scene.
Yes.
She's wearing stuff that everybody remembers. Like a big blonde wig.
You're totally right.
Like this crazy pink and like leopard print dress thing going on.
Oh, it's nuts. And then my favorite part, the sunglasses.
That are hands.
Oh my God.
They're like they're like sunglasses in the shape of jazz hands. Yeah. It's the weirdest thing.
I thought I was watching Pan's Labyrinth.
So she like goes into this bar or whatever to try to get this dude to sell her some drugs is what's going on.
She gets sexually harassed by Cheech Marin.
Oh, big time sexually harassed by Cheech Marin. He's sticking his big Cheech tongue out.
And he's just like asking, oh, why don't you kiss me, baby? And I'm like, man,
yeah,
this is a business.
You're working here right now.
How about that stereotypical Texan next to him?
Who thinks he's going to wrangle her afterwards.
Oh, yeah. He's like, oh, didn't work for Cheech over there. I'm going to wrestle my way
over here. I can buy you a Takata.
And I believe that twice in the same scene, she threatens different characters with, if you don't get away from me or if you don't stop what you're doing, I'm going to cut your dick off.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, so that this movie is at that level.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we're talking about cutting dicks. Like, it's that level now.
Later, balls are almost shot off.
Oh, well, that comes standard, I feel.
Is it?
Threat of ball cutting?
I mean, ball threat in general.
Well, like Jim Belushi in K-9, like, he's like, the dog's going to bite your balls off. You know, like, it's been around for a while.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
That was the start of ball danger in cinema.
No, I feel like ball danger's been around forever. Like, was Charlie Chaplin ever hitting the balls?
I'm pretty sure Harold Lloyd.
Buster Keaton, maybe? Yeah.
A house fell on Buster Keaton's balls. It's fine. So, you know, this whole deal goes wrong. Like, the dude shows up and, you know, they're about to do this whole thing. And then this guy in the back of the bar starts, like, getting rough with this other woman. And, like, Whoopi's got to stop in and take care of this because, you know, she's a good person. You find out, like, she, like, stands for the people of the streets. And this turns out to be an informant of hers.
It's her informant.
Her, like, best, like, ears on the ground kind of a thing.
She's in the middle of this bar getting beaten by, this is like Klaus Kinski's stunt double or something.
Dude, he looks like a cross between Klaus Kinski and the woman who plays Zool in Ghostbusters.
I was going to say, like the singer from Die Antwood. It's got a fucking ratty blonde mullet. It's not good.
He's hammering this chick in this bar, and like Cheech's not doing anything.
No one cares.
They're just like, oh, well, let her. Yeah, I'm not getting involved in people's business, but it's like, well, if a woman dies in your bar.
Yeah, that might just draw, you know, attention to other bars.
Yeah, you're getting put out of business, Chief.
Yeah,
Cheech, rather, I should say. So she follows this dude out in the alley, and she's like, hey, you know, knock it off. I'm a cop, you know. And this guy, like, turns around and just starts, like, beating the shit out of her.
Oh, yeah.
Throwing the N-word this way and that.
Oh, my God.
And then, like, we're raising the stakes again because, like, all right, first you're saying you're going to cut someone's dick off. You're like, all right, it's that movie. Okay, fine. You know? And before that, she's out on the street doing a lot of, like, don't mess with me, motherfucker, like this and that. So you're, like, tuning yourself into the language. And then it's like, all right, cutting balls off, that's fine. That's the level where this movie is. I get it. And then all of a sudden, the N-word is thrown out like 7 times in 10 seconds.
Like, just going for it.
As this dude is stomping her. And
it's,
I'm like,
insane.
I thought this was a Whoopi Goldberg cop comedy.
And like, man, I get it. This is the villain, so he's got to be evil.
I wish he was the villain if he was having lines of dialogue. He's like a hoodlum.
He's the villain.
Yeah, he's the villain of the scene.
Because he's about to kill her informant. Like, I get it why you're trying to amp it up so much.
Is that an acting trick? Like, okay, who's the villain of this scene, and who is the protagonist of the scene?
Maybe when the person is writing it. If you're sitting around acting a scene out, and you're like, now which one of us is the villain? No one has read the scene.
Not the one with the knife, no. Maybe the kind of dead prostitute, no.
Fatal Beauty, we guarantee you a villain in every scene.
Chock full of villains.
So she just murders this guy, like just totally shoots this guy dead.
Yeah.
But the whole like undercover operation is blown, you know, like so her... her buddies come in like, you fucked it up again, Rizzoli.
Yeah, the drug dealer is long gone. The money she brought to buy the drugs with, you know.
Also gone.
Also gone, just taken by someone in the alley when her purse gets thrown in her stomping that ensued.
So, you know, then we're introduced to this chief, and it's like, you know, all that money's gone. This person's murdered. What's going on with this, you know, undercover operation?
Well, we cannot miss. She's got two partners, or not partners, like detectives. God. They work. This one guy will not stop.
The dude from Lost with the mullet?
The guy who in The Thing, his head becomes the spider.
Not really narrowing it down, but I know who you're talking
yes.
about.
Yes. The one whose head becomes the spider.
Well, because there's the guy from Lost whose name is Chris Mulkey.
No, that's the other one. This is the other one.
The blonder gentleman, I think.
Yeah,
right?
The round, the rotund fella.
Okay, yes. Yeah.
He sort of looks like Robert Wool meets the Michelin Man.
But, like, man, right after you went on, like, an N-word spree, he's referring to this, his colleague, as a dusky detective.
Yeah.
And then, what? Like, she bends over to get a piece of evidence. He's like, yeah, I could show you a good time there, honey.
Oh, yeah. He's like, hey, Rizzoli, you ever have a doggy style?
But it's awesome, though, because the whoopster flips it around.
Yeah.
She's always flipping them, right? And she's just like, I haven't. What do you think about it or whatever? And then, like, this dude's just, like, humiliated.
She implies that he has had perpetrated doggy style on him, and the crowd that has gathered starts to chuckle.
Thinks it's pretty good. Thinks it's a pretty good one.
Hey, if I was there, I'd laugh at that fat fuck, too. He's being completely inappropriate is what's happening.
Well, he also, they make a bet over this corpse.
Oh, that's well. So we're getting a little ahead of ourselves here, as I feel what's going on, because we can't forget Brad Dourif is in this movie.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So the other side of she's trying to get this like drug ring or whatever, and this guy that she was going to buy from, you know, winds up running away when she goes after the woman getting hit on in the alley or whatever.
Kind of looks like Big Daddy from The Simpsons.
He's kind of wearing a muumuu.
Yeah.
So then, like, we follow this guy, and this guy, like, goes into, like, a closed Chinese restaurant or whatever. And then we see, like, a van outside, and it's Brad Dourif and, like, two other dudes getting ready to rob this place or whatever. And then we see what's going on. There's, like, three Asian women and an Asian man, like, just totally nude, like going through the coke and everything.
One dude's got the giggle fits.
Yeah. Oh, he's been like ingesting it somehow. Yeah. So he's like freaking out or whatever. And then one of the guys that Brad Dourif is with is like also working for this drug ring, and he's going to like turn on them. So he's like, all right, I'll leave the door unlocked and blah, blah, blah. And you go in and they just start shooting up the place. Like Brad Dourif and this other guy just like murder everybody.
Yeah.
And it's like, we're stealing all of the product.
This guy's laughing throughout the murders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brad Dourif's playing a real crazy dude in this movie.
Well, he's a total scumbag. But I think Tom Holland wrote Child's Play or he directed it.
He at least definitely directed it a year after this movie.
So, yeah, I think that this is laying the groundwork.
For playing Chucky?
For being a serial killer.
Right,
like,
right.
Or like a, you know, a voodooistic one.
No, right. We're going to do this movie so you can get in character for the next movie.
We're going to lay some groundwork, is what I'm saying.
And now, you're going to be in both movies, you get to be the villain in every scene.
This is the big villain. This is this villain's in every scene, almost.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, he's crazy in this movie.
He's totally crazy. So, like, they go on this killing spree. They steal all the product, which the product is called Fatal Beauty.
Yes.
This strain of coke that we're told the guy has, like, cut incorrectly, and there's too much of one cutting agent, so it's, like, really strong and poisonous and lives up to its name, Fatal Beauty, right? So then they get called to that scene. And then, yeah, these two, like, pig detectives are like, oh, his face is so shot up, like, we'll give you $50 if you can positively ID him. And she's like, oh, yeah, that ring on his finger has his initials on it. Great detective work, everybody. You know, and she goes out and she sees, like, this van for this security systems company. And
Kroll Enterprises.
Kroll, yeah, like the warrior.
Oh, well.
Or is it Kroll? Like Nick Kroll.
Nick Kroll.
Nick Kroll.
Oh, is
it?
Okay. Like Nick Kroll's uncle.
Kroll is...
Krull is the conqueror. That's a movie.
Call the Conqueror.
Oh, Call
the
Crawl the Conqueror, and then Crawl is
Crawl
where,
is the movie, and then there's
Liam
Crawl
Neeson
the Conqueror.
As a giant or whatever.
Yes. And then there's a big alien monster.
Wait, but there is there's a
movie.
Wait,
Crawl, man.
All right, hang on. There is a movie called Crawl, right?
There is.
So I'm not crazy.
No, yeah. There's a movie called Crawl.
But then there's also
you should check it out.
It's pretty nice.
I've seen it.
Well, you should watch it again.
But then there's you're saying Call the Conqueror is a different thing.
I think this might be a case
of the internet ticker being needed to.
So we'll fire up the internet ticker to get an answer on that. But so anyways, she sees this van and there's blood coming out of it, and
the third guy got shot.
Yeah, so that dude's like dead in the van or whatever.
Call the Conqueror with Kevin Sorbo.
Right, there we go. Okay. So now we're back at the detective precinct, and he's flipping the fuck out, and it turns out that this like Crawl of Crawl, you know, security or whatever this guy's business is a dude high up in society. You know, it's the 1980s, so your vague drug trade's happening, right?
All over the place.
So Whoopi's basically saying, like, hey, this dude Crawl is somehow involved in this drug racket. Yeah, and the guy's stuff. Like, listen, I don't like where this is going. He has ties to all sorts of politicians, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. It's 1987. It's exactly what you think is going to happen.
Yeah, it's the vague drug trade. Yep. I mean, you know, it's there's always a rich white dude behind it, you know, like we've seen canines before us.
And I've been reading a lot of self-help books these days. And I think that, I mean, this is exactly what
are you okay?
Well, a little bit. No, but this is what I imagine this guy's going, the chief.
Yeah.
Because he's always just like, do it. Like, no, just don't, please don't do it. Like,
yeah, this
I want,
dude's
like,
ready
a
to
little,
kick the chair out.
Yeah, I kind of want more of a Lethal Weapon type chief where he is like yelling at him and like actually like, get your job done versus like, oh,
Rizzoli. Oh,
really,
yeah.
Man?
No, this guy's got like his own Cloudy hanging above him.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Rizzoli. Look who's back. It's Cloudy. You make my life miserable.
I don't want to do what? Why would you do that to somebody? Don't shoot up everybody.
So then we get this scene. One of my favorite character actors that doesn't really get a lot of work these days, James LaGrosse.
Yep.
Totally awesome dude. He's playing like this drug dealer who's slinging some of this. Brad Dourif and his buddies come up. One dude is Mark Pellegrino from Lost is one of the guys. And then this other guy whose character's name is Frankenstein. They're trying to like intimidate him.
Well, it's not James. James LaGrosse is just a kid. He's not the
dealer. Oh, that's not the drug dealer. Don't they look very similar?
A little bit. Yeah.
So then this other guy isn't anybody though.
He's just
right?
a nobody.
He's just a drug dealer. But so they're trying to intimidate this guy, like, you're going to sling for us or blah, blah, blah. And to get this guy, like, shaking in his boots, this man, whose name is Frankenstein, just takes a glass soda bottle and chomps into it and chews it up and then spits bits of blood, glass, and presumably the inside of his mouth into this dude's, like, champagne glass that he's got or whatever.
And it's one of those things, like, it shouldn't bother me because obviously this movie is stupid. But, like, he starts chewing the glass, and there's a clear shot of him chewing the glass and pearly whites beaming out. And then all of a sudden, he's got, like, a whole hunk of blood just drooping out of his mouth.
That's how it works. It comes out in hunks.
Yeah, big old hunk.
It's so disgusting. So this guy's like, all right, I will deal drugs for you or whatever.
Just please don't eat glass in front of me ever again.
Ruining my champagne.
It's like, if you don't sell drugs for us,
I'll
do more.
I'm gonna eat
harm.
All your glasses.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna keep eating this glass till you have no more glass.
See that jar of tomato sauce? Whole thing's going in my mouth.
I'm gonna chew it right up. We get a scene of this is one of my favorite moments. Is Whoopi Goldberg at this diner or like deli counter?
It's a deli counter,
and it's like she's been working all night, and this dude's like just opening up for business because like now the sun's come up, and she's got to order a pastrami on rye because she's a big tough cop. And while this is happening, this is where James LaGrosse comes in. And he's going to, like, rob the joint. And, like, she talks him out of it by doing the second of two magic tricks that she does in this movie.
Yeah.
I didn't mention this. In the first scene with when they're in the alley and the guy's using the N-word, like, she totally does a Batman magic trick on him. Because, like, she's one place, and then he looks, and she vanishes, and he's like, where are you? And she's like, it's ridiculous. She pops up behind him and she's just like, well, I'm right here behind you somehow. It's ridiculous.
By the way, this is also after he threatens, like, I know where you live, and I'm going to break into your house late at night and then fight you and then fuck you. Like, so, he's like, I'm not only going to break into your house and hurt you, I'm also going to rape you.
It's like also, and he like words it like a bonus. Like, he's like, and maybe just for fun, I'll fuck your brains out. Yeah,
right, and this is James LeGros saying this back at the deli. But so then he pulls, he's like, goes to pull a knife on her, and he's like, huh? And she's like, oh, looking for this? And she pulls this switchblade out. Look, I'm like, what?
I have your phallic symbol.
Come on, Oliver Twist. Like, what? And then, this little pickpocket she is now?
And yeah, and he accuses her. He's like, that's a crime or whatever. But it's like, you were just pulling, you're trying to pull a knife on someone. You can't exactly use that line.
So she like talks him out of it. And she's like, go home, kid. I got to eat this sandwich and get to bed or whatever. And the chief explicitly says, like, and also, you're not investigating this Kroll guy. He's way too powerful. Like, nobody can touch him.
Alone.
Stay away. And she goes up to his house in her pink Cadillac. And we are greeted by the most beautiful specimen 1987 ever saw.
I knew he was in this movie. And I was like, yeah, whatever. But when I saw this, I got weak in the knees.
It's something. Incredible. Here comes a 1987 Sam Elliott. With the Sam Elliott mustache and the most beautiful, totally wild, untamable mullet. I mean, this hair is outrageous. It's a mane.
Call it what it is. It's a mane.
It's a mane. It's an absolute lion mane.
Yeah.
This thing is so awesome.
He's got a couple of horse features, if you know what I'm talking about.
It's hard to say no.
It is hard.
It is.
And so he is playing like Mr. Kroll's head of security.
Yeah.
And it's just like, no, you can't come in, Whoopi Goldberg.
But I'm going to flirt with you for a little bit here.
Yeah, so now we're flirting for 10 minutes.
I'm Mike Marchek.
Yeah.
And I'm here to do security.
Mike Marchek. Yeah, I work security for Mr. Kroll. You got some beautiful eyes there.
This is the scene where he's like, so that's a nice Italian name, Rizzoli. Look at you. A beautiful Italian woman. And you're just like, okay, you know. And so then it's like we cut to, and this is, there's like a little amazing bits after little amazing bits in this movie. So right when I'm like just getting over the shock of that mane, we get a nude Harris Yulin in a swimming pool.
Day bathing with his security guard just hanging out.
Oh, dude, he's got detail everywhere watching him swim nude. It's so fantastic. And Whoopi Goldberg, like, jumps the fence or his big, like, hedge maze wall or whatever. And you just see Harris Yulin get out of this fucking pool and his ass is hanging out.
And what,
like,
does she say to him right then and there?
She makes fun of his small penis.
She says, does that come in an adult size?
Good one, Whoopi.
You got a little baby dick.
Got a tiny. Did you buy that at KB Toys? It looks like it cost a lot.
Well, you know, to quote George Costanza, you know, he was in the pool.
Good point. Come on.
You know, so he gets a robot and puts his penis away so they can have an interview. And it's just, it's weird because you're like, okay, like you're setting up Harris Yulin's totally the bad guy in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then after this scene, Harris Yulin doesn't come back into this movie until the last scene.
One more scene. Yes. One more big sequence. That's it.
At least Kevin McTeague in K-9, like, he's the villain from start to finish. You know, he's the guy high up in society that, you know, he's pals with the mayor and whatever. And he's like, ah, well, fuck you, Jim Belushi, like, through the whole movie.
Well,
this movie, it's like Whoopi meets him and he's like, get out of here. Be quiet. Get out of here, Whoopi. You know, and then he yells at Sam Elliott, like, who is that? Be quiet.
I was a beautiful Italian woman.
And then he's gone for like an hour and 15 minutes until like his last scene.
Well, there were parts where I was like, is Brad Dourif working for him in to some capacity? But he's not. At the end, it's made very clear that they're two totally separate enterprises.
Yeah, they really kind of get their wires crossed like writing this movie because, yeah, you do think like, okay, Brad Dourif's like, you know, moving in, working for this guy. But what Brad Dourif is actually doing is moving in on Harris Yulin's entire operation.
Yes.
Where is the scene where Harris Yulin's like, this guy that looks like a serial killer is trying to mooch in on my business, you know?
Right? And then you know, Mike Marchek. Gotta go check it out.
Marchek.
Rizzoli, would you like to come with me to check this out?
Hey, we're going to check out an awful lot of things today, Rizzoli.
Want to check out my Marchek?
But, like, where is Brad Dourif seen, like, facing off with him, like, oh, yeah, old man, well, I'm going to take your fucking drug business.
Well, or,
step
like...
Step back, son. Mike Marchek. I run security around here.
Which, by the way, he's terrible at.
Oh, God. He never does it.
He's the worst security guard. Like, he's the highest paid terrible security guard in all of Beverly Hills.
And you're working for a drug lord. You don't think the one thing the drug lord's really going to make sure he's got good is a security chief?
Brad Dourif has way better security, and he operates his drug operation out of the slums.
Yes.
See, the thing is, Sam Elliott's just chasing Whoopi Goldberg the whole time. He's just stalking her. And nothing's getting done.
But I don't believe that this is just the first. Like, I kind of feel like whenever there's a pretty lady comes up to the door for Harris Yulin, he goes all doe-eyed.
His excuse is, my boss told me I have to follow you for a few months.
What?
Because I'm, Mike Marchak, security.
Background checks. They're really extensive. Important.
Say, what do you think about this lion mane I'm sporting?
The thing is, a mustache and the title of security went a long way in the 1980s.
I guess it did. And that's all you really needed to be able to do is grow a mustache, and you could be someone's chief security officer.
Yeah. Or just say you are one, and people would respect you.
Actually, that's also true. Now, how many of you guys, the two of you, thought that... it was going to turn out that Sam Elliott was actually some like undercover FBI agent or something? Like, you're gonna blow it, Whoopi. I've been playing the role of Mike Marchak for 10 years trying to get Kroll.
The mustache falls off.
I totally thought it was gonna be a thing where he's working undercover to try to like bust him.
You know, that makes sense, but it didn't even occur to me.
Like, that's how this movie should go. He reveals that, and it's like, okay, we'll work together to take down Harris Yulin. Instead, nothing happens with this big drug lord.
I actually, for a moment, did kind of think he might have pulled a, like, oh, man, my brother died from drugs that were supplied by Harris Yulin.
Oh.
I got real close. Like, a little bit more of a personal touch.
Oh, dude, personal vendetta?
Yeah.
I was going to drown him in that baby dick in that pool.
I was going to drown him baby dick first in that nice swimming hole he's got.
You see, Rizzoli, I was doing a little more than just chasing your skirt. You know what I'm saying?
But that was my major concern.
It was a high priority.
So then we have the craziest thing you'll ever see in this movie. She gets a call that her informant is now in the middle of a hostage crisis.
Yep. There's another movie going on where this informant girl is having the Final Destination happen. She was supposed to be beaten to death in that alley. She cheated it.
Now the Reaper's coming after her.
Yeah.
Actually, no, that's the horror movie that's happening on the other side of this movie.
Yeah, it's called The Reaper Collects.
Where Fatal Beauty is just hitting, like, everybody, and it's madness in the streets.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, everybody's bleeding out their mouths and, like, killing each other.
Chomping down on glass.
It's the crazies. It's the crazies.
Oh, great movie. Not the remake.
You see, Rizzoli, I was actually sent here by God to fight the Reaper. Mike Marchek. I'm an angel.
Mike Marchek, heaven security.
That'd be Saint Marchek.
Yeah. Saint Michael, ring a bell. Saint Michael Marchek.
They don't add the last name to everybody.
So she's like, my buddy's in trouble. Like, let's go see what's going on. And it turns out, like, she's in the house with some dude who's like taking her hostage. He's on crank or something.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay, well, you know, let's go see what we can do. As soon as she said this huge dude who looks like the WWE's Mark Henry bursts out of this house with like a fucking shotgun.
Holy shit.
And like shoots this cop like point blank with this shotgun. And they just open fire on this guy. And he's hepped up on Fatal Beauty. And this guy comes running down these back stairs like, I'll kill everybody. He gets shot like 14 times.
He's RoboCop.
Oh,
By the time he gets to the bottom of the stairs, he's been RoboCop. And he's still going.
He is the energizer buddy of cranked up drug users. Like, this guy is just getting shot and shot and shot. And he keeps coming after him.
He
finally drops.
It might be because off screen, Mike Marchek was distracting the Reaper. He couldn't get there.
Come here, you son of a bitch.
No one's dying in Los Angeles today.
So this dude's murdered. She runs inside to see what's going on, and her informant has also OD'd on Fatal Beauty. There's a kid in the house, and I don't know what this kid's deal is.
I think this is like a little Dick Whitman situation, you know? He's living with this prostitute house here.
Right, right. Oh. Yeah, I didn't put that together. That's entirely possible.
He's being
raised by a bunch of hookers with a heart of gold.
Yeah, and he'll change names eventually, find a job for himself.
Then he'll work for Chevy.
Yeah.
So, you know, Whoopi tries to revive this woman, tries to, like, get her in the tub, do CPR or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
EMT comes in. She's dead. And so it's like, oh, now we're starting to put it together. Like, oh, so there's Fatal Beauty, blah, blah, blah. Like, let's try to get to the bottom of who's slinging this.
Yes.
I read somewhere, I think it was IMDb. I don't know if it was, like, official or if it was, like, in the message board area that it's, like, the movie title, Fatal Beauty, has several meanings. For instance,
no, it doesn't.
You could apply it to Whoopi Goldberg because she is a beautiful woman, but she'll also kill people.
Someone took the time to write that somewhere?
Yeah, someone took the time.
Yeah. It's a good intro. If you're going to review, that's a good intro.
So we get like the lab report by the guy who like played the Kramer character on Jerry.
Yep. Yes.
The guy who stole the raisins. Like he comes in and he's just like, oh, hey, Rizzoli, they're like best friends. Yeah. And he's like, sorry to tell you this, but this is the strongest drug I've ever seen in human history. And she's like, oh, a challenge. Okay. And like the whole thing is she keeps getting shit on by her superiors because they're all like, oh, well, these are like, you know, people of the street, creatures of the night, like whatever. We don't care.
Oh, like give me a fucking, like, I get it. It's the LAPD. Trust me, I get it. But also, like, they're not going to just be like, ah, oh, fuck it, an open case.
Like, oh, she was. Yeah, I don't know, though. I could totally see you being like, what, they're just prostitutes? We have higher priorities. This is Los Angeles. I'm sure some rich white women were dying from this.
Possible.
It's entirely possible, dude. It's called Tales of the Grim Sleeper. Have you seen that
well,
movie?
Well, yes.
Wait,
but
what?
There's a documentary coming out called Tales of the Grim Sleeper. The Grim
really
Sleeper was a serial killer in L.A.
who killed
prostitutes. And the whole thing is like the LAPD kind of just didn't do anything about it because they were like, oh, they're just, you know, they're black women, they're prostitutes, like, forget it.
Right.
So this guy like got away with it for years and then he like went dormant and then he resurfaced and got himself caught. And like the documentary is about this dude. It's fucking terrifying and upsetting.
Yeah.
It's coming to HBO, dude. It's going to be great.
From Nick Broomfield.
So they have a lead. Her partner, by the way, is Ruben Blades.
Yep.
Who's great. I wish Ruben Blades was in more movies, man.
Oh, he's great in The Counselor. He, like, really puts a nice...
Oh, really?
Like, and,
I still
like,
the Cameron Diaz movie?
Yeah, it's great. Really? I'm a big defender of that movie.
Yes. Steve is on the opposite end, is
he?
Right?
He's a mixed... wishy-washy on it, but I think he doesn't like it.
Yeah,
ultimately.
It's a mixed bag type of movie, right? Like, a lot of people like it, a lot of people hate it.
I really like it, and Ruben Blades has a really good, like, badass, like, I'm the main, like, I'm the head of a cartel speech at the end of it.
The Counselor has a movie with, like, a main focused villain in it?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's one thing. Well, that this movie doesn't
have.
So they have a lead. It's like, oh, this dude might be slinging this stuff.
Richard Gere.
Yes, slash he looks like Richard Gere.
Which slash
he absolutely does not look like him.
Not in the slightest.
But and, like Whoopi Goldberg thinks he looks like Richard Gere and she thinks he's really hot or something.
Yes, but then there's the gag where like, is it Sam Elliott's character doesn't know who Richard Gere is?
There is a gag like that. I don't know if it's... It might be.
I actually think it might be the fat detective, the detective, the pig detective.
There's a gag in this movie because it's 1987 where she's like, "Oh, I'm gonna go look for this guy. We got people look out. He looks like Richard Gere," and the person's like, "Who?" And it's this total. I mean, it's a total product of his time.
You don't know who Richard Gere is?
Yeah, it's like
you haven't seen Pretty Woman.
Richard Gere, handsomest man on earth. Greatest actor the world's ever seen. Like, all this shit, you're just like, oh, 1987.
Thank you. Oh. But, like, and the guy looks like Joe Piscopo.
Yeah, no, he doesn't look anything like Richard Gere. But so now we're back undercover, and it's like disguise number two. She's playing, like, innocent girl, like, just moved to L.A. to be an actress.
And she walks over to him using the same stupid line, like, are you Richard Gere? And then he's just like, well, I could introduce you to Richard Gere. Why don't you park your little fanny right there?
I could also use you and sell you to my friends for a little bit of money.
Like, see, that's the subtext of the scene.
It's so terrible, though, because it's just your classic, like,
skeez ball,
like scumbag taking advantage of like an aspire, like Hollywood scumbag. Exactly. You know what I mean?
But he, at least he's a little upfront about things, because eventually he's just like, oh, go back to my place and have some blow. And she's like, what's blow? And he's like, you know, Colombian cocoa dust.
Oh yeah.
Lick, I think he calls it.
Whatever.
You're not supposed to call it. Oh, is it Colombian cuckoo dust?
Oh, cuckoo dust. That's cuckoo what it dust. Is. Yeah. Colombian cuckoo dust. You know what? And it's the same thing, that. Too, with weed, where yeah. it's like the person who's obsessed with, like, giving weed, like, a complicated nickname, or bragging about, like, the strain of weed. You know what I mean? And you're just like, just shut up. Like, I don't give a shit about what you're going to call this. And getting, like, super excited to do it, that's another terrible thing.
Oh, God.
Like, this dude's like, we're going to go back and do coke. Yes!
Well, it's
which
it's,
I guess you would do if you were already on cocaine, yeah, in the first
it's,
well, place.
It's pointedly the selling point. Hey, man, everybody likes coke. We're going to go do coke.
Yeah. What we're saying is, if you're going to do drugs, man, keep it a little casual.
Totally. Don't be so fucking obnoxious about it. So whatever, he's like feeling her up and he's like, oh, what's that piece of metal between your legs? Thankfully, there's no penis joke here. I could have sworn this movie was not above a robot penis joke, but right. they go beyond that, which is nice. And she's like, oh, that little old thing? Well, it's just a gun because I'm totally a cop. And this guy like this guy like starts firing wildly. And now there's just another shootout happening in this restaurant. She shoots him in the butt.
Right, like this, right in the
right,
butt.
Just dush, right in the butt. And you're like, oh, man, movie. Like then, hit him in the leg.
I know. Then he's got to go meet Lyndon Johnson. That was a Forrest Gump joke.
Oh, Jesus. Far pull.
I mean, not at, after I figured it out. It's
no,
great.
Yeah, it's the scenic route.
So she like strings this guy. She's like, oh, you got yep. shot in the ass, huh? Hey, kitchen staff at this restaurant, string this guy up in your refrigerator.
How'd they just do it?
Yeah, she's like, don't worry about it. I'm a police officer.
Actually, can you make that a Windsor knot? Okay, thank you.
And it's like in the meat locker, like or like the freezer.
The walk-in fridge. Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. And she's like threatening this dude and like, yeah, I'm going to leave like, you in there.
Am I watch this late at night.
Sure.
So if I'm misremembering something.
Uh-huh.
Does she touch his dick or something? Because she does a dick
this
shaming.
Is the next
she
I'm going to shoot.
It a little bit.
Yeah,
she?
She's like, oh, look at that little dick. She's obsessed with telling people they got little dicks.
Oh, yeah, dude. It's great. And then she's like, again, she's like, I'm going to shoot your cock off.
Yeah.
If you don't tell me. You know what the deal is with
dude,
Brad Dourif.
That
you,
is fucked up, man. That is like ISIS.
Dude, she gets results.
Yeah.
Rizzoli. She gets results with or without Isles.
What's that about, by the way? Why did we Rizzoli and Isles is a new show, right?
No.
Is that, was it a remake of an earlier show?
No.
You're just thinking of Cagney and Lacey.
Right. So it this is the same thing, but with new names, and the name just happens to be exactly from this movie.
Well, yes. I think also one of them is a detective, and the other one is like a medical examiner or something.
Yes.
Isn't that right? So they're not both cops.
It's like Bones and Badges.
Yes. Yep. Which was the original title of Bones. It was Bones and Badges, and they just decided to
but
cut off.
But that's actually a highly lewd act in the UK, and they didn't want to disturb the market, so they're like, you know what,
Bones and Badges could also be like a Yale secret society.
Yeah, dude.
Welcome to Bones and Badges.
Speaking of little dicks,
you couldn't make it into Skull and Bones, so here you are at Plan B, Bones and Badges. It's kind of the same thing, but we don't have as great funding, and we're not as secret.
So wait. So some of the bones from Skull and Bones can hang out, but yeah. like the skulls, like,
do not.
You, the skulls like, wouldn't associate. Like,
well, if you pledge Skull and Bones, you get ranked a skull. You don't have to worry about anything.
You don't go anywhere.
Don't have to associate with badges.
A, you never have to worry about money, but B, you never have to fucking deal with those badges.
Oh God!
Wait a second. Are Skull and Bones broken up into skulls and bones?
I don't think so, but
okay.
I think it would be a good idea.
I think
idea
it would probably
were.
Be good, because I do think the bones would hang out with the other bones of Bones and Badges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you got bones go together.
I do think that, yeah. I think it would work.
Or is Bones and Badges like a fraternal cop organization?
Oh,
like,
that could be too, yeah.
Like for the, you know, they pay for funerals or something.
Or it's like a secret society, like the Stonecutters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, this dude finally gives up the information because he doesn't want his dick shot off. Like, she's smart. It totally works. Yes.
You're right. Just, you know, violating every law there ever was.
She's a hard-nosed detective, dude. It's the 1980s.
Get used to it.
Torture is totally accepted.
It's true.
For don't forget where you are, dude. 1987 movie world.
No, no. Don't forget where you are. United States. Period. Underline. Man, the end.
I think we're post-cruising, so the cops can do anything at this point.
Yeah, I think we are post-cruising.
87? Yeah, we're post-cruising for sure.
So yeah, the cops do anything they like.
Hey, Sam Elliott, hips or lips?
Right.
Well, depends upon what part of that main.
Definitely hips. I'm going to go with hips on this one.
So the dude gives up the address to Brad Dourif's, like, slum compound. And it's like, this guy knows security. Like, hey, Sam Elliott, why don't you start taking notes at this abandoned apartment complex?
Let's see here. The drug money goes to the, you know, you got beautiful eyes, Scully.
You got Italian eyes. But I don't want to lose this thread because when she's doing this, you know, she tells Sam Elliott that she's got a date and to, like, back off. But he's still following her. And, like, before she goes to this restaurant to meet this guy, she sees this dress in the window.
Oh, man, God. This is so dumb.
Right?
And she's like, how much is it? And the woman in the store.
Clothes waitress.
The clothes waitress comes up to take her order, her clothes order. And she's like, I'll start with this dress. And how much is it? And she says five. She holds up five. And Whoopi's like, 500? And she's like, no, 5,000. And you're like, okay. For some reason, this movie is telling me that this dress costs $5,000. All right.
And apparently you wanted to just tack 3 minutes onto your fucking runtime for no reason.
We're already at an hour and 46 minutes. Thanks a lot.
So Mike Marchek, by the way, after she shoots out his tire to stop him from following her.
Oh, that's right.
But Mike Marchek always finds a way, you know?
He just starts walking like T-1000.
Yeah, he won't give up. And he's wearing sunglasses at night during this whole part. What the hell is that about?
What the hell is that about? It's being the coolest goddamn person I've ever seen in a movie.
It's because of his angel eyes.
And I must, we really do need to stress just like how much this main is working for him.
Oh, it's so
good. Look,
I'm picturing it right now.
No, honestly, look, folks at home, go to our Facebook page and look at this pictures of this main.
You have to look at it. It's the most gorgeous head of hair I've ever seen.
He survives this. This man tucks in all the t-shirts. Mm-hmm. He tucks in a t-shirt and he's still sexually attractive.
Oh my God, he pulls it off so good.
It's so
it's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
The man's just so goddamn handsome.
So he buys that dress, and it's just like, I'm going to give that to my Italian lady a little later.
I just have $5,000 lying around.
Yeah. By the way, what was that? Like, with inflation, what is that, like $68,000?
That's right.
This piece of shit?
Well, we don't know much about late 80s fashion. That
I guess
been
that's
like a
true.
Totally
I
great
mean,
dress.
Maybe it is, but
I don't know. But the point is, he buys this for a person that he's not in any way related to. They're not dating. They're nothing. He's kind of just following her through this whole movie.
Yeah.
Being like, hey, Whoopi, do you know I'm head of security? You need any assistance in your legitimate police investigation?
Hey, Rizzoli, would it be weird if I asked to hold your hand just for 5 minutes?
It's a standard head of security procedure.
I might stare in your eyes as well, but God, I just would love to hold your hand.
Mr. Kroll said I should get a feel for you.
I take everything Mr. Kroll says very literally.
This is your lifeline.
Yesterday.
And it's very long.
Yesterday he told me to piss up a tree. What did I do? I dropped my drawers and I pissed in the air.
I dropped my drawers and said, how far up do you need me to go, Mr. Kroll?
Call that the limbo shot.
So she like undercovers her way in there under the pretense of like she's looking to score some coke. And She goes in there. Some dude.
Wait,
like,
this is the slum city now. Slum area. Mm-hmm. This looks like fucking Children of Men. This looks like the apocalypse has happened.
It's like
and
the
this
later
is the black market.
The, like the later Death Wishes.
Yeah.
Like the atomic zone they live in those dude, fucking movies.
Dude, it's the, you're totally right. It's the exact same thing. I think that's Death Wish 2. Two or three.
Or like RoboCop 2 or 3.
Yeah, I mean, it's
like
all dystopian nightmare.
It's so, you're just like, what's going on? And it's kind of like Children of the Corn. There's like little children like kind of running parts of it.
There's men casually walking with machine guns, smoking a cigarette, like going through the market like it's no big deal.
It's so crazy.
It's like a whole town.
And she waltzes right in like, I'm looking to score some fatal beauty, please. And they're like, oh, right this way, up to our customer service floor.
Oh, man, you know what they did? They made Amsterdam.
Dude, it's totally Hamsterdam. That's exactly what it is. Hamsterdam from The Wire. And it's working.
Yeah, it's working fine.
They're all there. It's working.
Brad Dourif is just doing nice and fine.
Dude, do you think the character of Bunny Colvin was a fan of the film Fatal Beauty?
He probably had to watch it just to get prepared.
That's where he got the idea for Hamsterdam, possibly.
I think so.
He's sitting at home like, man, the streets of Baltimore are horrible.
You know what's great? It's because I haven't seen The Wire. I'm just thinking about hamsters getting high now.
So anyways, she goes in. Some dude, like a child, is like, I know that woman to be an undercover police officer. So he goes and gets like the big guns, Brad Dourif and the glass eating guy.
Yeah.
And they like go down to like take her out or whatever. She like corners this guy who's working as like the drug ring's accountant.
Yeah.
Like he's doing all the books.
Counting the money.
You know, and it's like, where's all these drugs coming from? This, that, and the other thing. Like trying to get him to admit like that Kroll's involved. And then there's just this intense shootout. And Sam Elliott like rolls in and they're just like blasting people left and right. And this scene and like the accountant gets murdered. A lot of people get murdered. Like, yep. Brad Dourif is doing most of the murdering. Frankenstein's kind
of
getting in on the action.
It, yeah.
The end of the shootout is like, all right, like they got away. Let's get out of here or whatever. And a ceiling falls on Whoopi Goldberg's face. And it's intense, man, because you see this stunt double for Whoopi. Right. She just like looks up and you can see this prop ceiling fall on this woman's face.
First of two humongous things that fall on her that she survives.
You're totally right. Dude.
Wait, are we counting Mike Marchek?
Mike Marchek's mustache right on them lips.
No, she pulled him snugly atop her. So
she's like briefly in the hospital and it's like, well, we've been 2 minutes without some insane shootout. Better have another one. Brad Dourif rolls up, like he calls the police department pretending to be a priest or something, and finds out what like what hospital she was taken to.
Great police work.
Yeah. So he rolls up with like a fake gift box and there's a gun inside it, like he's a 1920s gangster.
Or like the Joker.
It's a Joker move. It's a big-time Joker movie.
Like, he's trying to break into this hospital to murder Don Corleone, you know, late at night. And so he starts firing at Sam Elliott. He gets, you think he gets shot and it's so hilarious? Or no, this is Ruben Blades. Ruben Blades is also at the hospital, and he recognizes Brad Dourif when the elevator door
opens. Yeah, it's Ruben Blades because Sam Elliott's with Roland, I think, still.
And it's so hilarious because Dourif gets, like, he cracks the gun or whatever, and I think he gets a shot off, and Ruben Blades falls down, and you're like, oh shit, you know, the partner got shot. And Sam Elliott comes up like, hey, you okay, buddy? And he's like, yeah, I just twisted my ankle. Like, what are you doing? How about a little professionalism? Stand on your own 2 feet, dummy.
It just makes me say, like, imagine if that was like really it, though. Like he's actually trying to shoot Brad Dourif and he just twists his ankle real hard and he's like
I mean, you know, there's a couple of times where this movie totally takes a nosedive into like no pace whatsoever,
plateau land.
So yeah, why not have a whole scene where he's like grabbing his ankle or something?
It would add some much needed realism, you know.
Yeah. Just a pinch, that's all I need, just a little pinch. Now is this around time where James LaGrosse's entire like circle of friends dies.
That's exactly what it is, because they go back to Whoopi's house and James LaGross is sleeping on the couch.
Oh, yes.
And Sam Elliott's like, look out, I'm going to shoot this punk kid right in the head. And she's like, no, this is a child.
Is this
that
your
I know.
Boyfriend?
Yeah, totally. Is this before or after they sleep with each other, by the way?
I think before.
It's before?
Still?
Okay, so I spoiled a little bit.
Yeah, well, speaking of which, should we say what happened? What was cut from the film?
No, well, we'll say it when we get to it. We're not there yet.
All right, stay tuned for a cutting.
So he's like, oh, Whoopi Goldberg, I didn't know what else to do. You're finally home. I was at this party and I had a bunch of that cocaine with me and everybody wanted to do the coke, but I wanted to go swimming first. So I went swimming while everyone else did this coke. And when I came back, they were like this. And like, he takes them to the house and it's just a room full of like 10 dead kids. Like they died mid party, like all at the same time. Like, it's like the cold open of an X-Files episode. Like, you open this door and there's just kids like holding glasses with like beers in it or something, just all dead and frozen.
It's also like a really bad fucking after school special. Like, they only wanted to party.
And you could tell it drives it home, because like Sam Elliott looks like he's like, wait, white people are starting to die from this?
Oh, no.
Rizzoli, us white people, like Italians like us, are starting to die from
this? Full blooded Italians like us.
But she gets really pissed at him around this time, too, because he works for Mr. Drug Czar.
Right, and he refuses to believe that Harris Yulin could be wrapped up in this.
Right, but
which, again, if you are the head of security, you know the score. He knows. You should if you're a good head of security.
She starts yelling at him how he let it slide. Well, he let things slide.
Also, if you're working for some guy, and the guy wants you all to see his dick when he goes out and fucking does his morning laps, you might start thinking there's something off about this guy. He has a little bit of an ego issue.
Maybe, but that's, you know, not going to immediately take you to being a drug dealer.
But I would start looking around, because that shit's weird.
Actually, yeah, no, it would. For me. Rule number one.
What an odd leap to make. So it brings us to the most hilarious scene in this movie.
Oh, it's so good.
Because she's like, okay, James LaGross, where did you get this coke from? And he's like, oh, you know, my mom. So she's like, all right, well, I'm going to go talk to your mom about all this. Be right back. And she goes, and this woman is like just finishing up a game of doubles tennis. She's having this big party. You know, she's a big LA so-and-so. And Whoopi just walks in and she's like, listen, I've got some bad news about your son. And this woman is very cold, you know, just like, I don't give a fuck about him. I gave him his chances.
Right off the bat, actually, the caterers come out through back.
Oh, yeah. Oh, she totally thinks Whoopi's working for the catering company.
And the freaking badge is right there. She's got a Don Johnson jacket on.
Oh,
and
yeah.
She's got a huge badge hanging off it. She knows exactly who this is.
Oh, were you in Badges and Bones in college, too? Okay, well, the catering truck is around back.
And Whoopi's like, hey, listen, stop for a second. Like, your son's in serious trouble. Like, he said that he got this coke from you. These kids are dead. Like, you know.
And she's just like, well, whatever.
Yeah, she totally doesn't give a shit. And Whoopi's getting pissed. And she's like, all I need to do is find out where you got it from. I'm trying to chase the chain of command, you know, of this coke and everything. It's killing people. And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about, blah, blah, blah. And this woman punches Whoopi Goldberg in the face, like, out of nowhere. And you're just like, holy shit. Like, you just punched a police detective lady. Like, this is going to end badly for you.
Yes.
And then it gets even better because Whoopi punches her in the face. And then, like, kicks her in the crotch or something. Like, they start this fight.
It's what they live. They go for it.
Yeah, and then Mike Marchek's hanging back going, two ladies fighting. Mike can get used to this.
Hey, Mike Marchak's going to give him a minute or two. I think that's what's going to happen.
Let kiddies play. It's what it says right here on my bicep.
And Whoopi punches this woman through a plate glass window.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so awesome because it's like this snooty garden party. And you just see like this totally like shaded window. And this woman explodes out of it. And you're like, holy fuck, she's dead. But then she just gets right back up. like they live.
And this, again, exactly like Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah. It's like, we're going for the carbon copy here. So they're having this fight. And then Sam Elliott comes over like, what are you doing? This is looking bad for business. If Mike Marchak was a legitimate police officer, he wouldn't be acting like this. And she's like, okay, you're right, you're right, you're right. And while Sam Elliott is holding Whoopi back, this woman gets another sucker punch in.
Yeah, it's like he's helping her.
I was like, what?
I'll hold her down for you.
And then Whoopi like gets the final blow and knocks this woman into the pool. Mm-hmm. Like, it's totally humiliating.
And the piranhas get her.
God, that would be great. Like,
oh no, it looks like you punched her into the piranha tank.
No, Ving Rhames, don't go in there.
And so he, like, they just leave, and this is like they go back to her apartment or whatever, and he's like, why are you so pissed off about, like, something set you off? Like, you're not throwing out fun one-liners, you're like beating the shit out of people. And then the movie completely stops dead, and she gives this whole story about how she used to be addicted to drugs. While she was addicted to drugs, she got pregnant, she had this child. This, that, and the other thing.
How the
and
then, hell did you become a cop in this after this?
Well, this, you know, these people make the best cops, man. Like, you have street connections, you know what's going on.
You know what I've heard? That there's a thin line between cop and criminal.
It's true.
It's something they
They've
say.
Made most movies about it.
You know, so those, you know that genre, cop movie?
Yeah.
Like that, like, sub-action genre? Like, every one of those movies is about that. That thin line that you're talking about?
I'm just saying I've noticed. Hey, excuse me, movies? I've noticed.
Just little redundancies here.
Eric Siska, the last movie detective you would ever call.
Oh, man. How far has Eric movie fallen?
Well, he doesn't like working with cliche.
Well, but this man is just priming him for his comeback.
Yeah,
the big case that brings him back.
It's like The Wrestler.
Yeah, exactly.
But with cops.
And you don't, you know.
That's my movie pitch.
So then also, somewhere in the sob story, there's something about, like, she went out to get, like score some drugs or something, and her kid died.
But she came back, and I think the kid might have, like, snorted the drugs or done the drugs.
Oh, yes, that's exactly what it is, I think, is she leaves drugs out to, like, go get other drugs or something, and her kid does drugs and, like, kills himself. Nice. So, like, that's, like, you're sitting there, like, where are all those one-liners that I was having such a good time with? Where's Brad Dourif being a psychopath? Sam Elliott's mane is even looking a little flat in this scene.
Yeah.
Like, it just the air is getting sucked out of this movie. And you're like, hey, Beverly Hills Cop didn't have this scene.
And you know what? Sick Boy was never the same again. It's something left him, man.
It's just so out of nowhere.
I could have used like a flashback or something with a dead baby crawling on the ceiling.
Yeah, oh, yeah, of course.
A little
of course.
A little underworld score just for everybody. Just to keep the thing moving.
And then maybe something, maybe transition into something light like Forrest Gump.
Which, by the way, I don't want to harp on this, but. They also, the entire score is exactly like the Beverly Hills Cop. Like, they use certain pieces of it.
It's the same composer, I think.
Is it?
I think
because
it might be.
It sounds almost identical.
Oh, we should get the internet ticker back up on that.
I'm almost positive because, like, towards the end specifically, there's two pieces that are, like, I'm not kidding you, two notes different from songs in the Beverly Hills Cop score. Yeah.
You're like, how? What a crazy turn this movie just took. Like, it's so depressing. I sure hope there aren't any more left turns. And then they're like, you know what would be good right now? A sex scene. And, like, they just start making out. And you're like, what? And it just cuts to the next day.
Yeah, same composer.
Yeah, huh?
Nice. Cash What's the fella's name?
Harold Flattermeyer.
There you go.
Cash
that explains
Shannon.
It. So, Eric, this is where you were saying that there was an actual love scene cut out of the movie.
Apparently, yeah, they say it's a love scene on the internet, but you know what that means? That means a sex scene.
Which you have to believe this is like some shit-ass racist, well, like, oh, nobody wants to see that.
Yeah, that's probably where the idea was to cut it out, or maybe test audiences were like, oh!
Well,
oh, I can't terrible. Believe this. Well,
here's my question, people. Though. It says love scene, or say sex scene.
It says love scene, but you know that means shirtless Sam Elliott, and we've been deprived of it now.
Well, sure. And don't get me wrong, I'm just as incensed as you.
I need to see them nips.
Don't get him wrong, everybody.
I got to see them nips.
But when somebody says love scene, I almost immediately think that the thing has to look like the sex scenes in the room.
Why?
Super soft lighting, like love scene.
Oh,
like
you mean softcore pornography?
Yes,
that's how all the sex scenes in the room
borderline
are
softcore pornography.
Well, that's the same thing. Like Atonement, that's kind of the same as the room. In terms of love scenes.
Yeah, it's true.
A love scene from The Duchess. Yeah. You know, it's just like The Room, right?
Yes.
Those movies are on the same level.
Similar,
right?
Yes.
At least seen certain scenes.
When's that guy going to wash up on the bed of a river somewhere, huh?
5 years.
Oh, yeah, you're getting the Tommy Wiseau death clock out?
Oh, man, he would be a good... I think he'd be a good bet in a death pool, right?
Yeah, I think it's not a bad one.
He would be the wild card, dude, because that's like at any time.
But yeah, that's the thing, is that you could pull that out of your pocket anytime, like until, you know, it obviously happens.
Well, then you'd feel terrible, but honestly, you'd be like, I know.
Yeah, I mean, it was...
Makes sense to me.
I mean,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, balloons, they take a while to hit the ground, but eventually...
he gave us one classic film, though.
Yeah. He sure did.
He only directed one film, just like the great Charles Laughton.
Yes.
Just directed one great film. Tommy Wiseau in the same category as Charles Laughton.
The Knight of the Room.
Isn't he going to be, he's going to be doing something else now, right?
He's got some like piece of shit web series or something that they premiered part of or some nonsense.
The day that premieres, Williamsburg, is their like bandwidth is going to be nothing.
Dude, they played a sneak preview of it downtown like 6 months ago, and of course it was sold out.
Packed. Yeah. Packed house.
Packed. Packed, giving this guy money. Packed.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Give that guy money. Meanwhile, oh, wait, there's moths in my pocket? Yeah, that's our life.
Eric Siska, an impoverished cartoon character.
I am.
He goes to take the bus, and he opens his wallet, and a cartoon moth flies
out. He's named the moth. Charlie the Moth.
That's happened.
Who lives in my wallet.
Charlie got out.
So they wake up the next morning, and she's in the shower, and Mike Marchak has taken off, I believe.
Yes.
And this, like, he sneaks back in with food or something. Anyway, this is where she gets a phone call that Fatal Beauty has now taken the lives of grade school children.
Yeah. And here's another five-minute scene.
First of all, grade school children, if you're listening, don't start doing blow.
Yeah, don't do... I mean, I don't even know. Like, she says it's an 8-year-old, like a 10-year-old, and a 12-year-old, I think.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. She gets this information before the sex scene, because this is what...
That's what puts her in the mood?
No, this is what launches her into that the big story about her past.
Oh, right. Because
it reminds her of her child who also
died.
And
the whole thing takes forever. It's like 15 minutes. But yeah, there's three kids. It's 8, 10, and 12, I think, and they're all dead. If I was an 8-year-old and they were like, here's drugs, I don't know if I'd know what to do with it.
I mean, you know, you don't know what kids know.
Internet?
Nowadays, but this is 1987.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 1987 days? Well,
it's a lot harder to figure out. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they ate it. They don't.
I mean,
this movie, they didn't say that they rolled up a $50 bill and snorted it off a mirror. They just say that somehow the kids got into the drugs and killed themselves.
We're not talking about an 8-year-old in like a white collared shirt cutting up lines
like
on a
little
mirror.
Just has a mirror in his pocket.
Look, Chris, I know how much you want this, but it is not an 8-year-old or a 10-year-old reenacting the motoring scene from Boogie Nights, dancing around with a dude snapping things.
Dude, they should totally do this where, like, these babies are coked out and stuff. It'll be like Baby Genius's sequel, like, after, like, we're in the slump period
honestly,
now.
So then it's just like, we have to get these guys. And there's the final stakeout, which, like, there's a parade going on. I don't
this
know.
Is
so
where
much bullshit going on.
The movie starts to drag some serious ass.
Yeah, well, it's ever since she got the news that those kids got killed.
It's
just been going
halt.
Downhill. It was hitting the brakes. Backstories, sob stories, useless sex scenes, the whole thing. So now she's just like following all of these guys around. Like she knows who the dealers are and blah, blah, blah. So she's like following all these people. And whatever, man. It just leads out to a big shootout in a sporting goods store or something.
Well, that's my problem with this movie in general is that this whole sequence is the last sequence of the movie. And it goes on for like 20 minutes, this whole thing from her following Marchek to this place and then doing the whole thing. And a lot of that is this entire movie. This entire movie are like huge scenes going on forever in the same area.
I think there's like five scenes in this
movie. And it's really monotonous and like it gets boring real quick. And that's why this, even when it's a big shootout, it's not that good.
I'm sorry that the action shootout at the end of this picture didn't live up to your standards. Mike Marchak usually tries to do better as a head of security, head of shootout security.
Unless there's a fine young woman in my eye line, then I might not be as good as you want.
He is kind of useless in this movie.
He's completely useless.
He's just like, I'm the head of security. I checked the clipboard. Are you on the list?
It's kind of awesome because he's almost literally eye candy.
Oh, it's great.
It's kind of really cool.
And it fucking pays off because my eyes were getting fucking sugar high looking at this hunk.
Oh, no, it's a pixie stick.
Mane of hair is just out of control.
You know, I had no idea that back in 1987, because I hadn't seen this movie before we recorded, you know, before we were going to do this episode.
Right.
And Be Still My Heart.
Oh.
I couldn't believe it.
I might almost give you another heart attack here. There's a movie where he has almost this exact same look called Lifeguard, where he plays a lifeguard.
Is this a stay tuned situation?
It might very well be. It's a bit of a love story.
Oh, yeah.
So prepare yourselves. But
that's pretty great. But the mane is in full effect.
Oh, the mane's nice.
And he's a lifeguard, so you know it gets wet.
All shirtless. Nothing but shirtless scenes.
Does he have he's got the mustache, right?
Tell yes, God. It's all the mustache.
I don't appreciate like nowadays Sam Elliott where he is indeed mustacheless.
I don't like it. On Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
That character's great.
It's really
I love it.
They brought him back in this final season for a little scene with Ron Swanson, and it's like amazing. But oh man, just without that mustache, it's like, what are you doing?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the image, you know.
I think it was to
God forbid the day that Sam Elliott goes. The last image I'm going to have of him is Big Lebowski.
Oh, yeah.
Right, of course. Yeah. But I feel like this mustacheless is just to make him look more haunting and scary for Justified.
Yes.
Because he looks like a scarecrow that came to life.
Wait a second. I'm sorry. Yes. I haven't started that final season yet. Sam Elliott's on Justified?
Yeah, he's like the main villain.
Yeah.
So... Once you
all right,
sit
let's
back.
Wrap this up so I can get caught up on Justified. Oh my God, that's awesome. Good for him. All right, so the shootout's happening. Everybody gets blown away, right? Like, you think Brad Dourif's dead. He pops up and shoots Sam Elliott, not fatally, thankfully.
No, in the stomach.
He just goes down. And then it's like another...
Marchek down. We got a Marchek down. That's a head of security's down. Has anyone found... Mr. Kroll. Oh, by the way,
he pops back in. Harris Yulin pops back in at the start of this whole scene and is instantly murdered by Brad Dourif. Like, I don't even think he gets two words in. Like, Whoopi's like, all right, you're coming with me. I'm going to arrest you, Kroll. And then Brad Dourif's like, not so fast, cop.
That's at the end. Harris Yulin does start the whole scene giving Marchek some lip because he has been not doing his job at all.
He hasn't shown you. First of all, Marchek, you haven't showed up to work in weeks.
Fucking 5 days.
Hey, Marchek, remind me why I'm paying you $375,000 a year to be my head of security.
He touches his mustache and he's like, lip service.
You want a good yes man.
You
in your
always
corner.
Said that my hair did it for you. So I figured that was worth a pretty penny.
Me and my team put up with your nonsense skinny dipping. That's why I'm here.
But, you know, if you want, you could just start to pay me in Sioux City sarsaparilla.
And, you know, a pair of Bahama Mama shorts, not that expensive.
It gets hot on the job.
So Brad Dourif, like, runs into this parking garage or whatever. And Whoopi goes after him and, like, puts two in his back or something. He falls down. he gets back up again, and you know, Whoopi shoots him again, and like he's just getting like, but he keeps walking, and you're like, oh shit, like he did the fatal beauty, like that dude. And then it's just like, nope, bulletproof vest.
But that's what doesn't make any sense, is he's been doing this fucking fatal beauty. He has been doing it the whole movie. And like, it's not like, it doesn't affect him at all. Like, because what?
He's got a good resistance built up.
Maybe. I mean, I guess, but like, it's not even like he goes crazy. He's of sound mind the entire fucking time.
Well,
as far as evil fucks go.
Yeah, as sound of mind as Brad Dourif characters ever get. Yeah. But fake Kramer, the medical examiner, states, like, the second you take this, like, you go insane and then you die.
And it's not like if you're in Mensa, it doesn't work on you or something like that.
Like, there's poison in it.
Yeah.
And it's killing people instantly.
And he's snorting this shit 24/7.
It killed that whole after school special.
Maybe the Reaper is like tied up, or he's in league with the devil somehow.
I mean, I feel like Marchek is kind of sleeping on both jobs.
Yeah.
Because he's not really doing the Reaper stuff at all. Reaper is racking up numbers in this movie.
Yeah.
And then like he's
got that whole party.
He's killing left and right. He's really having a field day of it. And then, like,
Reaper loves killing.
On the other side of it, he's not. Harris Yulin could have been shot 75,000 times.
And then he does get shot.
And then finally he does get shot because Marchek's not doing his job.
And then Sam Elliott just sees what's going on. He's like, oh, I'm sorry, everybody. That one's on me. Dead Harris Yulin over there is on me.
And then he shoots himself in the gut and says, oh, I got to go to the hospital.
Oh, you know what? I'm calling out sick for the rest of this movie. I got shot. Sorry. Still get a purple movie heart, though, right?
It actually states in my contract with Mr. Yulin that if I'm shot on the job, $1 million.
Mike Marchek, ultimate insurance scammer. That would be great if he was totally bogus.
Call it the Marchek ultimatum.
Oh, my God. That'd be a good novel.
The Marchek ultimatum? Yeah, totally, dude. Someone write a shitty spy novel.
They programmed me to be the head of security.
Turns out they didn't do too good of a job programming me.
I'm okay, I guess.
So then it's kind of an awesome exchange at the end here, because Dourif rips his shirt open to reveal the bulletproof vest, and he's like, Kevlar, bitch.
Yeah.
And then she pulls out a gun and shoots him in the head, and she's just like, Smith and Wesson, bitch. And you're like, fuck. Yeah,
yeah,
Whoopi.
That's what I wanted.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Why doesn't she do that on The View? That would be something.
Yeah, Whoopi won.
Of course,
Whoopi
she
always wins.
Yeah,
let's not be silly. The woman's egotted already.
She's great. I love Whoopi.
She's
man.
The queen of it all.
So then it's so man the end of this movie, right? So like. Of course, Marchek's not dead. He's going to be totally fine.
Oh, no. Yeah, he'll live the romance another day.
And it's crazy because he's like, oh, I don't know. It's going to take me long to recover. I don't know if I'm going to be okay. And she looks down and like plants a big wet one on him. And she's just like, you're going to be just fine. And like dumps him in the ambulance. And then she pulls off in her super cool pink Cadillac. End of movie. End of any potential Rizzoli franchise options.
Instant
also.
Credits.
Yeah, totally.
It's like the movie dragged so much ass to get there, mm-hmm. and then it just ended too fast on that.
No, and you know, honestly, how do you miss this opportunity? This final scene in the mall stakeout, this is where he finally reveals. He's like, look, I'm undercover.
Yeah.
I've been working this case for 5 years or whatever. My name's not even Mike Marchek. It's Mike Harchek.
Instead, he's like, look, I'm gonna be honest, I'm unemployed now.
That man that you just murdered murdered my boss, so I'm unemployed.
I got like probably a month on the lease at least, but
I should also mention that Mike Marchek has approximately zero savings.
But Marchek has quite more than zero debt.
I think Mike Marchek's going to need to move in with you for a little while. And Rizzoli, why don't you pick up some Coors Banquet beers on your way home?
Turns out Mike Marchek loves gambling. Turns out Mike Marchek ain't no good at gambling.
Mike Marchek is not responsible.
She just shoots him in the head and drives away. I can't deal with this.
I'm sorry. Goodbye.
Do you think if this movie had been like way more successful than it was and it got like franchised, the third movie would have been Whoopi Goldberg running around a fake amusement park?
I would hope so.
Like that piece of shit third Beverly Hills Cop movie?
Well, I would think it'd
George
be like
Lucas
more...
would show up?
Well, no, I would think it'd be more like Lethal Weapon 4 where she finds out that Marchek's pregnant.
Marchek, the man, is pregnant?
That's like Junior then. Junior.
Yeah, that's not Lethal Weapon 4. That's Junior with Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah, I don't know. This movie, it's not exactly a sequel setup, but it's totally like a...
You could do something with
this. Well, it's because it's totally a remember this pink Cadillac, everybody.
Yeah.
Because the teaser trailer for the second movie is definitely just going to be close up on a pink Cadillac. And then we pan up a little bit and it's Whoopi putting the sunglasses down.
But you can't do that because people are going to think it's a sequel to Pink Cadillac.
With the Clint Eastwood movie?
Yeah.
That's
possible.
That's
a great one.
Yeah.
Well, not a great one.
You would also have to change the title of your franchise unless the movie was actually about, oh no, now someone else is selling Fatal Beauty. Like, it wouldn't be able to be a complete...
So, instead... No!
She's also a fatal beauty because she's a pretty lady that kills people.
No one is fucking thinking about that for the title of this movie, Internet Idiot!
If you want to make a sequel, just go with that.
Well, I mean, you can also, like, get, like, just another, like, fatal... Like, elegant shit. Or, like...
Chris Cabin's elegant shit. You should have directed it.
Or, Pineapple Express.
Yeah, it's like...
Or they could call it... Oh, how about this? The movie is called Fatal Snooty, right? Mm. And she has to go undercover at some country club.
With Snooty?
No, Snooty, not Snooky.
Well, I'm saying, but first... Okay.
No, because presumably this movie would be made like a year or so later, so it would be 1989, and Snooky was fucking...
Oh, I thought we were
old.
Going for a 2016 relaunch.
No, I'm not relaunching this movie in 2016.
What he's talking about is putting these characters into another fantastical situation, such as like a Caddyshack. By Bushwood?
Yes, exactly. She has to go to a Bushwood-type place undercover. Her and Mike Marchak play like a couple who's going to like get... You know, they're being considered for membership for this club,
and
right?
They have to kill Jackie Mason. Yeah. Because he bought Bushwood. You?
Then they're going to turn it into a mini golf course.
Yeah. And then Marchek's like, going to be putting on the... He's like, I could get used to this, Rizzoli. This has got some primo... I just putted my ball right into that funny looking dog. That giant dog statue.
You know what? Dog's tail wagged when I did it.
Dude, I would love to go mini golfing with Sam Elliott.
Oh, God. That'd be incredible.
Because you know what he's saying at least three times is,
you know, this is a lot more fun than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Also, you're going to probably hear at least one hole in one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're goddamn right I am.
Oh, man.
Would anybody recommend Fatal Beauty?
I would. See, the thing is, I was watching this, and like the first 35, 40 minutes, I was like, hell yeah, I'm going to recommend Fatal Beauty. And then the last...
Hour.
Yeah. Thank you. I was like, oh, no, I'm not. It drags too much. I mean, the start is you're off to the races.
Right.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It's like a seeing is believing, especially just for the profanity alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, the language in this movie, right?
Yeah, but yeah, no.
It's a very mild recommend. It is to me a seeing is believing because Whoopi Goldberg did a lot of like really stupid movies in this time. Jumpin' Jack Flash, which
That's
is really
one.
Stupid.
That's
Burglar
a bad one.
Is really stupid.
She went right into the 90s with making stupid movies, though.
And then
Eddie's a really stupid movie.
Eddie and the associate or the assistant, I forget what
the associate, Theodore Rex, is incredibly stupid. Ghost is a great movie,
Ghost is
and
good.
I'm kind of like okay with the first sister act. That second one totally sucks.
You're
saying like for a Whoopi Goldberg movie, this is a better than average Whoopi Goldberg movie?
I like
or
this.
I
certainly like
average.
This better than Burglar.
There you go, everyone.
Burglar. You've all seen Burglar, right?
It's really bad. No, I mean, it is to me more of a seeing is believing. I think you see it once, you've seen it, and then you're done with it. It's not like a repeat. It's not so bad that you can repeatedly watch it and get a lot more fun out of it.
Yeah, it's
I think you watch it once and you get what you get out of it.
I don't think it's a movie that you could like sit around with a bunch of friends and make fun of in a group or anything. But what I will say about this movie, two things. One, just looking at pictures alone of that mane of hair does nothing for it. You need to see scenes of this
emotion.
Mane in action.
It has to react to its environment.
Yeah, this mane.
It's really important.
It's breathing, man.
This mane in a gunfight is fantastic. It's a great partner to have in a gunfight.
It's dodging bullets like it's Keanu Reeves.
Well, there was one scene that we didn't get to talk about where they are in the slum house, and Brad Dourif's about to shoot his head off
from
the back. And you can tell the mane tells him that Brad Dourif is behind him. And he hits it right at the right moment and moves.
You're totally right. I would also say that this is, to me, a good, because it was the first time I watched this movie was this way. Like a nice rainy Sunday, you're kind of hungover in the afternoon movie.
That would be. Yeah.
It's totally fine because it's long enough that you're like, this will soak up a lot of the day. But it's also like, aside from, you know, the grinding halt that it takes when she starts talking about her
dead
past
people.
Life and whatever. Yeah. Like everything else before that, like I think it's totally fine. It does, be forewarned, crawl to a halt.
Yeah.
But no, perfect Sunday hangover movie, I'd say. That's Fatal Beauty from 1987, directed by Tom Holland. If you want more information about the show, check out our website, whmpodcast.com. Be sure to check out all the other great shows on the Sideshow Network website, sideshownetwork.tv. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, we're at WHM Podcast. Right into the mailbag, weallhatemovies@gmail.com. Rate and review the show in iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you get it. We would greatly appreciate you spreading the word about We Hate Movies. Clue for next week's episode, Eric Siska.
Walter Koenig, also known as Chekhov.
Oh,
Star Trek Chekhov.
Yeah, dude. All right.
If Star Trek's Chekhov is in a movie, it's got to go off.
Be sure to check us out at the Lily Pad on March 21st, 8 p.m. in Cambridge, Massachusetts. WHMpodcast.brownpapertickets.com. Until next week with Walter Koenig, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Chris Gavin.
Eric Siska.
Take it easy.